Well, amen. God bless you all. May his peace rest upon you all. I was blessed this morning, especially hearing the young people share. I was blessed because I know that they gained a lot this past week spiritually. God bless you for it. You know, I don't think you realize many times, young people, what you have. You're privileged. You look in the world and you see the many that are struggling in the depth of sin. Many of them don't know. They don't know. They don't know what they're missing because they don't know him. They don't know Jesus. There's hurts, there's pain, and they're looking for something, and they're not finding it. They got their cell phones, and they're looking on there. They're Googling it, and they're doing all their searches and trying to find a friend somewhere. And they don't know that they have a friend. There is a friend that they need. And God could be their friend. And Jesus could be their Savior. Their Creator. Praise God. I'm so glad that he is our Savior. Matter of fact, you were privileged. You're much more privileged than I was even when I was young. But I thank God that he put a searchlight on me and helped me to find my way. Thank God. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father who cares for us all. And even though we make our mistakes in life, you still have a hand that is reaching down from heaven to pull us, to help us. You have a shield for us. You do protect us. How many times you've protected us in our wayward life, in our sinful life, you've protected us. And you've led us to salvation through Jesus Christ. You've led us to a life of victory. You've led us through to where we can overcome the evil one. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're our Savior, for the precious blood that you shed on Calvary for us. Please bless us today, Lord. I pray today we could look up to you, and I pray you would bless us with your Holy Spirit and give us the direction we need for our life and our message today. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, chose this topic here, or this subject, which I don't know if I'm able to do this, but I don't. Maybe I better look at how I worded that before I write it on the board. Okay. Let us finish Let us finish well. Sometimes life is a mess, isn't it? And sometimes it's confusing, sometimes it's troublesome. And Satan makes it that way. God put Adam and Eve in the garden, not with a mess. I don't think even a weed grew in there. It was all good, and it was well. But a mess came out of their life. They made a mess of it. And it was tough. It was hard. Life was hard for many years after that. And we're still somewhat victims of their sin. But don't despair. Death has passed upon all men. And every man that dies testifies to the fact that he has sinned. Because he had not sinned, he wouldn't have died. But every man has sinned, and every one of us, everybody in here that's still alive, will someday die. And that's an awesome thought to think. I was thinking about that this week. What if there was no Savior? What if there was no one to help us? What if there was no sacrifice for our sins? Think of the misery that we would have to live in. And then at the end of, and death would pass upon us all, or has passed upon us all. Think about how that would be. You come to the end of life, and hell and destruction is all you could look forward to for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life, for eternity, beyond this life. And that's all that we could look forward to. Think about that. How awful that would be. And you know, this story about Christmas, about, they call it Christmas, but I call it the birth of Christ. The story that, I like it the way it says in Luke. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. This was after, I think it was about 400 years or so, that they had a prophet or a revelation from God in heaven. It was dark times. It was a time when I believe there was not much joy in the world. There was much evil, anguish, hopelessness. And this one night came, and the angel of the Lord came upon them, upon the shepherds that were out there in the field, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Is this the end? Probably they thought. What's happening? The angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Wasn't that a beautiful thing? I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You shall be, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That was some of the best news they had heard for 400 years. That was something they were looking forward to, that somehow a Redeemer would come. Someone would come to save them. Someone would come. And here was God coming to earth. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. God, in his mercy, said goodwill toward men. What a blessing. We have that hope today. That has fruitationed into reality for us today. And it's not only for us, my people, it's for all people. It's for all of us. And it's for all those around us. It's for all those that don't know him. Salvation has come. You know, this afternoon we'll go to a viewing of a young man, an older man than I am. I think he was 81. He's 81 years old. But we were good friends. I guess that's why, from long ago, from when we were young. So he's still, I consider him a young man, huh? But, yeah. A man that we were good friends with. And I have good hopes for that man. He had a good heart. He was a blessing. Every time I was around him, he was a blessing. There was a 70-year-old man, fell down a hay hole and died suddenly not long ago. And there's another old man, which was my wife's uncle. He was 93 years old. Almost 94. He's passed away. And then there was another young man that was only, I believe, 17. They don't know whether it's suicide, but he also passed into eternity. We all are going to go into eternity. How many of these had a Redeemer, one who saved them, one who guided their lives? Some of them did. I'm not sure about that young man. That's so sad. In the prime of life. But you know, another thing that I think is very sad and that I have pondered and wonder why it is so. Every now and then, I find out about a young person that I knew once knew the Lord. A young person that was started out in the Christian life, was born again, and they fell away. They don't obey the Bible. They lived their own life by themselves, and they've fallen away. There's still hope for them if they repent. But it's so sad when people lose their way. It's so sad when they depart from the faith. And I think this morning, young people, that your Bible school was on purpose. It was on purpose because your parents, and there's others that want you to be faithful, that wants you to be willing to follow Jesus all the way, and that you would stand in these latter days that you would stand for the truth of the gospel, for true salvation. You would stand and you would truly be saved and stay saved and finish well. You know, there's a battle comes on in life. Soon after Jesus was baptized, there's already the battle started when he was baptized. And so it is, if you follow Jesus, you will find yourself entering into the battlefield where Satan would destroy you. He would destroy your faith. He would destroy you from believing the Bible. He would want to keep you from reading the Bible and from believing it and from following the truth of it. And so it was on purpose that there was a Bible school, not to just indoctrinate you to be who you are now, but to give you growth, to give you structure, to give you direction for the rest of your life, that you might finish well, that you might work a good work in your life and be fruitful and not waste away your life following after the things of this world. And I'd like to, this morning, for a message, I wanted to go into the book of Jude. I've thought of this book of Jude, and that was the heart of Jude. So if you want to open up your Bibles to Jude, and we'll read this. I might follow my notes here for a little bit, but I don't know if I'll continue with them. Let us finish well. In order to finish well, there's lessons of life that we ought to learn and that we need to learn. How often are they taught by the wrongs we do? Lessons of life. How often that it seems we learn the hard way, don't we? We older ones know that. You younger ones are just finding those things out. You're finding out that you learn best by making mistakes and doing some things that you thought you knew how to do, but you make mistakes and you mess it up. They are taught by the wrongs we do, like by the pains of injury, by the errors we make. The pains of injury, I was thinking of that. That came to my mind because a while back I was stepped on my ball hitch on the truck to crawl down off of the truck, and my foot slipped. You know, those hitches are a little slippery, especially when it's snowy. And I stepped down and my net went down across my knee and it really, or across my leg. And I didn't think it did anything, but when I looked later on that evening, it was bloody on my pants, so I knew something was wrong. And so I skinned myself. So after that, I went to the store and I was looking for this. I saw this thing that has a step that you could put on the ball hitch so that you could step on that and not do like I did. But lessons we learn. Sometimes it's by pain. Sometimes it's by the errors we make. Sometimes people get upset and they scold you. Did you ever get a scolding? You know, don't despair when you get a scolding. That's just like Solomon says, it's wisdom crying in the streets. Think of it that way. somebody is trying to get a point across to you, and so they scream at you maybe, or yell at you, or even cuss at you sometimes. But think of it as the Proverbs writer says, wisdom is the one that's standing at the gates, standing on the high places, crying out to the people, learn wisdom. She cries at the gates at the entry of the city. Oh, how hard it is when our heart is dashed by our mistakes. When our pride is dashed by our mistakes. And when our pain comes because we did something foolish. How hard it is to be corrected by the truth of the matter. Any amens? Is that all right? Isn't it hard? Isn't it hard when the truth of the matter is the truth of the matter? We need to be corrected. Don't we often cry after we feel the pain? Yeah. Sometimes our children get hurt and they cry. And so it is with us. Sometimes we feel the pangs of defeat. We feel pain through that. But they're lessons of life. And they teach us. They teach us. It does something. It's kind of like the cross was to Jesus. You know, Jesus, he went on the cross. He knew that was going to be his lot in his life here on earth. But he suffered pain for us. He understands. He suffered mockings for us. He could understand. Lamentations 3 says, but it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His compassions fail not. It's of the Lord's mercy today that you're here, that we're not consumed, that sin hasn't yet destroyed us. It's of the Lord's mercy. If you're here and you have a chance to hear the wonderful news that that Redeemer has come, it's of the Lord's mercy that he sent Jesus to save you from your sins and deliver you from the hand that would destroy you, from the one who would destroy you. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Every time this happens, may the corn of wheat, the grain of my self-life, fall into the ground and die. You know, our self-life needs to go down into the ground and die. Like Jesus died. It's the way of the cross. You know what happens? Good soil is made of dead things. Good soil becomes soft and mellow. And godly seeds that, like you heard at Bible school this week, if you have mellow, soft hearts, that good seed grows well. It'll prosper. Might have to add a little fertilizer now and then, but it'll prosper. Add the fertilizer and water. Wet it with the tears of the of the understanding. You know, we need to understand the goodness of God. We need to understand the love of God. We need to understand the mercy of God. If we want to understand or have a resurrected new life, that's actually what brings it. If you don't die to self, you'll never have a resurrected life. You just won't. We must die to ourselves. To have a resurrected life, we must die to ourselves and take God's way. God's way is found in the Bible. God's truths are found in there. Find out what God's truths are and follow that. And this is one of them. A broken heart and a soft heart is good soil. Well, I haven't started on the book of Jude here, but I'd like to read this whole chapter. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. They too started out, but they didn't finish well. They didn't finish well because they strayed away from God. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Oh, there's a great day of judgment awaiting for those angels. They didn't finish well. You'd think angels would have a clearer understanding, but they didn't finish well. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Sodom and Gomorrah were blessed with a prosperous, I think it was a prosperous country or city. Those places, people did well there. God had blessed them, but they gave themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh. And they're set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. There's a hell coming for those who give themselves into those kind of things. And here it also says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves." That's speaking about those who have departed from the faith, who have departed from God. I believe it's those who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. As brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water. This is pictures of apostasy. This is where people get when you go down that road. This is where people get to, I believe. Carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." When I read that, I see a picture of apostasy. I see a picture of people who started out well, but they've gone the ways of Cain. They've gone the ways that lead to apostasy, and they're not going to end well. It's not going to end well for these folks. And I guess what concerns me is that I think I see things like this, and people get colder and colder and colder, and they lose out. They lose out completely. I know too many people. I've seen too many people go down this road. I don't want to go that way. Maybe I'm just a little old-fashioned, but I still believe the Bible, and I believe in the old-fashioned way. I believe that we have to go the right way and continue therein. The convictions I had when God saved my soul, I don't want to go back on them, because I know they came from the Bible. And I'll stick with it. And I want you to stick with it. I want you children, you young people to learn these truths in the Bible, because you're going to need it to keep you. You're going to have it as a personal conviction for your own life. Because there's a lot of these false prophets out there that are seducing people. Little by little, they're nabbing them and pulling them away and turning them into corrupt people. People that have no desire for God anymore. I know people that have claimed to be really strong Christians, and they followed the route of divorce. They believed that that you can receive divorced or have divorced people, and defended that divorce is okay. And they've gone down that road. They don't, at this point, I know some of them, they don't even go to church. But some of them started out well. Some of them started out right. And there's people today. I know the people apostatize. I've seen it. My friends, I believe there was a time when many of the people that we came out of, our background, that they were so far apostatized, they even considered salvation a new belief. And it was a new belief to them. But they did not believe that in the new birth. They did not believe those things anymore. And they were very carnal and very corrupt. But I see that many of them are turning again. They're turning back to God, which I'm thankful for that. I'm grateful that they're... And that's why I think you young people need to stand. You need to stand on some of those truths and let it not become just a form that we go through to believe in the new birth. Let that not just become a form, but let that become a reality in our life. Let it be so. You go through certain forms. Sometimes they have to be a certain age before they can join church. My friend, it's not how old you are. You need to get right with God when God speaks to you. You need to come to Him when God speaks to you. Be you 16, be you 12, be you 10. When God speaks to you about your soul, you've sinned, you've done wrong, make it right. Go to God. No matter if I'm almost 80. No matter if you're 80 years old, I need to do that too. I don't have to, I want to. Because I want to finish well. You need to walk with God now. Learn to know Him. Learn to believe with all your heart the things that He teaches. Whether you're a lady sitting here with a veiling on your head, or whether you're a man here, that you've learned some things in life that came from the Bible. You need to believe it and follow it. Follow the truth. And know what it says, because as Jude said, people come and they turn the grace of God. We heard a good message the other Sunday on the grace of God here. It's such a beautiful thing. We don't want to twist that. Because the grace of God has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously in this present evil world. Get that for a conviction for your life. What the grace of God does in your life, you need to keep that. You need not give that up. Let that shine in your hearts. Let it shine in your soul. Let it beam out to a world around us, because they don't know which way they're going. Many of them, if you don't show the gospel to them by your life, they won't see it. They won't understand. They don't understand. It confuses them to begin with. But suddenly they begin to realize there's something is different about that fella. Does the world know you that way? Does the world understand you? You are different. You're not like most people are. And you shouldn't be. Most people are lost. But some people are saved. I think it's still my desire to see everybody saved. Even those who turn away from God. Even those who lose their way. It's still my desire to see everyone saved. I don't want to see anybody lost. Is God able to help us to finish well? Let's go on reading in verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. There he gives us some things that we can do, that we need if we want to finish well. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. That's not a half-hearted thing. When you go to building up yourselves, it's searching diligently. It's looking and having a deep desire for answers to life. If you have a deep desire to find answers for your life, you'll find it. He that seeks shall find, Jesus said. You'll page through the Bible. You'll read the Bible. You'll understand what God's looking for if you seek Him with all your heart. Through the Proverbs, I think every young person ought to search in the Proverbs to find the ways of life. If you're Christian or not Christian, read the book of Proverbs. I often tell people, young people that aren't even Christians, I tell them, if you want to learn how to have a successful life, read the book of Proverbs. It will help you understand the way of life. It really will. It'll reveal truths to you. You'll have a book of revelations. I think the book of Proverbs is kind of like the book of revelations. You'll see things you never saw before. Praise God. I have a license plate at home. I should put it on my truck now that we don't have to have any a license plate on the truck. On the front, I could put it there, but I've thought often of this. It says, when all else fails, read the instructions. When all else fails. And you'll come, if you're not a Christian and you don't want to follow the Lord, you don't want to follow the Bible, let me tell you something. You're going to fail. It's going to fail for you. I'll guarantee you, you'll be defeated. When you come to the end of life, if you don't get it, if you won't be defeated before then, you'll not enter, because the door will be shut. and you will be defeated. I'll tell you, those five foolish virgins, they thought that life wasn't that serious. They didn't bother getting oil. But when the Lord came, they cried out. There were some had oil, some didn't have it. And when they came to the door, maybe they had a good life. Maybe they kind of leaned on all the others and they had a good time together. I don't know how that was. But there's one thing that they found out. When they came, they were too late. And the door was shut. They ended up not having a successful life. They didn't end up. They didn't end up finishing well. They were outside. The people that lived their wicked lives in the days of Noah, when God shut the door of that ark, they didn't finish well. Are we going to finish well? Do we mock? Do we live for ourselves? Do we think that somehow I'll get there? Somehow I'll make it. That's the way a lot of people in this world think. I know I'm not living right. I know I'm a sinner and I do wrong. I know I get angry. I know I'm miserable. They drink their beers. They take their drugs. Their pride is great. They can't come to the end of themselves, but they think, I'll bull my way through life. I'll make it somehow. No, you won't. That's what I tell you. They will not make it. They won't make it. The door's going to be shut. They're going to be too late. Anyhow, where am I going here? Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Build up yourself. You need it. You'll need every ounce of the wisdom of God that you can find. Keep yourselves in, that is the next one. Building up yourselves. Actually, the next one is praying in the Holy Ghost. That goes along with building up yourself, praying in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit of God. Pray with all your heart. Don't let the flesh get in the way, but pray in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves, that's the next one, keep yourselves in the love of God. And that is a vital one. Do you still love God? Is your love growing cold? Is it just lukewarm? That was a good suggestion that from that minister to tell you that leave your phone down an hour before and an hour after you get up, before you go to bed, and an hour after you get up. That's a good suggestion, because you know something? I think these phones, I sense it in my own life. These phones are actually a bondage to us. They are. They don't seem to keep you in the love of God. They don't seem that way to me. It doesn't seem like when I have to look at the news the first thing, that keeps me in the love of God. And I'll just confess that I need that. I'm glad somebody suggested that. And I've even wondered, I still wonder whether it wouldn't be better not to have the smartphones at all. I still, there's so many handy things on there that I use, but there's also a lot of stuff on there that is not good for me or for you or for any of us. If we want to finish well, we better stick with the Lord. We better make that our goal. Not let the love of God wane, but let it be zealously pursued after. The love of God. And then the next one, looking for the mercy of the Lord of Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Looking for His mercy. Do you see His mercy? Are we keep on looking for the mercy, that God will be merciful to us? We beg for that. We pray for that. We seek His face. We ask Him to lead us by His mercy out of temptation, like it says there, like Jesus taught us to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Pray that often. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Be merciful to us, Lord. Have compassion on others. That's another one. Having compassion, making a difference. You know, compassion makes a difference. It does. Whether you go out on the streets and you witness to them, or wherever we are, you can tell if I mean it or not. If I'm up here preaching and I love you, you can tell the difference. I know you can. Or if I just got this thing in my head and I'm trying to get it into your head, you can tell the difference. If it comes from my heart or if it comes from my heart, it'll come to your heart. That's what compassion does. It's kind of like compression. Think of it. It kind of presses in on you. Compassion. Be a compassionate person. Compassion makes a difference on others. And then it also says, pulling them out of the fire. Save with fear. Pulling them out of the fire. You'll love to do that. You'll want to do that. If you and I would be dangling over the doors of hell, and we'd see those people down there in the fire, and they'd reach their hands right up to us, we'd grab them. We'd try to pull them out, wouldn't we? That's the way we ought to be doing. We don't want anybody to be lost. Hating the garments spotted by the flesh. Yeah, sometimes it looks so ugly. Sometimes they're almost scary to look at nowadays. The garment spotted by the flesh. I pity people like that. They're all tattooed. They're all scarred by sin. They're cold. There's hardly any life there. You hate those things, don't you? You hate to see them. I do. I hate to see that kind of thing. But people are caught up in it. People are being drowned. People are going to perish with that. People are going to go to hell with that kind of thing. And then the last one I have here. Commit yourself unto Him who is able to keep you. That's what it says there. Unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's able to keep you from falling. Dear brother, dear sister, he's able to keep you from falling. He's able to take you through. That tells me we can make it. By the grace of God, by the mercy of God, we can make it. Keep going, young people. Keep going, older people. I'm apt to be there before you. But let's have our heavenly home in view. Let's see Jesus. Let's look forward to seeing him. God bless you. I hope and pray that none will be lost here. And I know that young people, you desire that. You don't want to be lost. I have that confidence. How many of you know the song, When We See Christ? Do you know that song? Some of you do. Oft times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to him in prayer. Jesus can solve your problem. Amen. Last verse on that. Life's day will soon be o'er. All storms forever past will cross the great divide. To glory safe at last, we'll share the joys of heaven. A harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burden down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Lord, this morning I pray you'd help us to be faithful to the end. I pray that you will touch our hearts this morning and help us by the grace of God to live a victorious life. Help those who struggle, Lord. I'm sure there's some who struggle. Will you search their hearts, search them out, guide them, Lord, pull them, help them, tug at their hearts, and bless them. Help us all, Lord, as we go from here, that we would pray in the Holy Ghost, that we would live our life searching for you, your will for our life. Help us, Lord, that we can build up our life in the Holy Spirit. Build up our life with convictions to do what's right. Bless us. Bless these people, Lord. I pray you'd save every last soul that's in here and many more. So be with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.